NTSB makes an example of NASCAR. Craig Fuller urges GA to lay the groundwork for recovery. And two more airlines file ugly fourth quarter financials. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Friday, January 30th, 2009. In many of its final reports on the causes of aviation accidents, the National Transportation Safety Board seems to be pulling punches. Well, not this time. In the case of a Cessna 310 owned by NASCAR that crashed into a residential neighborhood in Sanford, Florida in July of 2007, the board has come down hard on both NASCAR's flight department and the judgment of the pilot that day. The plane had flown the previous day. That pilot had pulled the breaker for the weather radar to stop a burning smell in the cockpit and reported the problem when he brought the plane back in. The next day, the board says the plane was released for flight despite the known discrepancy. The pilot reported a fire in the cockpit before apparently being overcome with smoke. Both pilots and three people on the ground died. The board ruled that at some point prior to or during the accident flight, it's likely that one of the pilots reset that circuit breaker that had been pulled on the previous flight, re-energizing related components in the electrical system, which likely led to the in-flight fire. NTSB determined that had a safety management system been in place, providing a formal system of risk management and internal oversight, the accident might have been avoided. Acting board chairman Mark V. Rosanker commented, quote, "There were numerous opportunities that should have been taken to stop the chain of events that led to this terrible loss. This accident is especially tragic, not only because lives were lost and people were grievously injured, but because it could have been so easily avoided," unquote. The board noted that because the plane was released for flight and operated with a known maintenance issue unaddressed, the aircraft was not in compliance with federal regulations. Rosanker called that decision and the lack of any record of the previous day's squawk, quote, "frankly alarming," unquote. NTSB has issued five recommendations to the FAA, including cautioning pilots about the possible downsides of resetting breakers in flight, coverage of the issue in initial and biennial training for both pilots and maintenance personnel, improved guidance from manufacturers, and a safety alert to Part 91 business operators to adopt a safety management system. In his first public speech as the new president of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association, Craig Fuller told the Wichita Aero Club Wednesday that general aviation has a bright future, but will require collective action by individual pilots and industry leaders to realize its potential. Acknowledging the slumping economy, Fuller said, quote, "We cannot afford to focus only on the problems of today. Now is the time to lay the groundwork for recovery. Now is the time to launch the initiatives that will accelerate our climb back to growth and prosperity," unquote. Regarding the recent pounding of GA's public image following the auto bailout hearings in Congress, Fuller added, quote, "Experience taught me long ago that if you do not define yourself, you are defined by your adversaries. We must be engaged in the political process. We cannot afford to be passive and wait for better days," unquote. He told the 230 members in attendance that while AOPA does not want a renewed fight over user fees, it will be ready to represent GA if it happens. Here's where we all get to decide whether we're a special interest group or not. However you feel about stimulus plans backed by deficit spending, Aviation Tax Consultants finds a silver lining in the current bill's impact on aviation. Aviation Tax Consultants helps aircraft owners with the tax ramifications of large purchases and says House Resolution 598 includes, among other benefits, the return of 50% bonus depreciation for new aircraft purchases, up to $250,000, retroactive to January 1st of this year. The House passed the bill on Wednesday, and it's currently being debated in the Senate. Continental Airlines has joined a parade of ugly 2008 financials, announcing yesterday it lost $585 million in 2008, including $234 million attributed to special items such as fuel hedges. $266 million of that loss came in the fourth quarter alone. U.S. Airways says it did worse in 2008, losing $803 million, $541 million of that in the last 3 months of the year. Both airlines stressed adjustments they say will pay off with a better 2009. Up next on ANN, an accident claims Airliners.net's Paolo Emanuele. A helicopter midair is blamed in part on distracted pilots. An American goofed when it added seats to its 767s. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for January 30th. I'm Paul Plack. One of the victims in Wednesday's crash of an SIAI Marchetti SF-260C at Santa Monica Municipal Airport in California has been identified. Paolo Emanuele became general manager of airliners.net almost 2 years ago. Though many contributors to the site never met him in person, they described him yesterday as an enthusiastic supporter of all things aviation, as well as a skilled pilot. The identity of the second victim on board the accident plane has not yet been released, and investigators are still working on a cause. Reports indicate the turboprop was departing Santa Monica when it encountered engine problems. Witnesses say the plane appeared to be turning back to the airport. One witness described seeing the plane about 500 feet above the ground, with its nose raised sharply upward. ANN extends our condolences to Emanuele's family and friends, as well as to those of the second victim. Watch for further updates at aero-news.net. The mid-air collision of two Eurocopter AS-350B2 News helicopters over Phoenix, Arizona in July of 2007 has been officially blamed on a simple case of failure to see and avoid by the two pilots involved. NTSB's final report also cited as contributing factors the pilots' reporting and visual tracking duties in support of news gathering operations and a lack of formal procedures for Phoenix area news pilots. At the time of the accident, three other news gathering helicopters and a police helicopter were all operating in the area. All four occupants in the two accident helicopters died. The board's investigation has resulted in 10 recommendations to the FAA, including requiring news operators to assign reporting responsibilities to someone other than the flying pilot, unless it can be determined that the pilot's workload remains manageable under all conditions. The board also wants FAA to require high-visibility blade paint schemes and improved anti-collision lights, and to issue an advisory circular on best practices for electronic news-gathering operations. The next time you board an American Airlines 767 for a transatlantic flight, you may notice a few empty seats. It turns out the carrier found the planes did not have the required number of life rafts for a full passenger load. American spokesman Tim Wagner told the Associated Press the problem stems from American's recently redesigned business class cabins, which expanded the number of available seats. Wagner said the problem came to light during a review of life raft capacity prompted by the ditching of U.S. Airways 1549. FAA regulations require enough rafts to accommodate a full cabin of passengers, including children seated on parents' laps, even if one life raft fails to inflate. American has 58 767-300s in its fleet. Some of them had been flying in the new cabin configuration since 2005. All other aircraft types passed the review, and Wagner stressed the rafts weren't the only flotation devices available on those 767s. Sun Country Airlines has made its way around a dark financial corner. The small specialty airline was caught in a cash shortage due to its seasonal business model and the delay of a short-term loan it normally gets each fall from parent company Petters Aviation LLC. Petters was in Chapter 11 this past year, and founder Tom Petters faces federal charges related to financial irregularities. Sun Country chairman and CEO Stan Gadick cut his own pay, got concessions from employees, deferred some payroll for a few weeks, talked creditors into cutting him some slack, and finally did get the courts to let him borrow some money from Petters. It was a tightrope walk, to be sure, but it all worked out in the end. Employees are getting their back pay. Snowbirds are once again filling Sun Country flights to warmer climes. And the airline has announced net income of $955,000 for the fourth quarter of 2008. That's not a lot, but it's up from an $18 million loss in the fourth quarter of 2007, before Gadick came on board. He says of the successful turnaround, quote, "This success was achieved through the hard work and dedication of our employees, as well as changes to our business model over the past several months." Based on current booking and revenue trends, we expect to be profitable in the first quarter and full year 2009. We appreciate the continued support of our Sun Country customers and look forward to providing the superior level of service that Sun Country is known for, unquote. Somewhere, a bunch of industry analysts are digging into their pockets to pay off their losing bets about now. Still ahead, Starbucks sells its almost new G550. The Spirit Mars rover gets temperamental. And fly with us. We're proud of our double Ds. You're listening to Aero News.
Welcome to Cirrus Design, maker of the world's best-selling personal aircraft, the sleek SR-22. Cirrus planes feature the latest technologies and are equipped with an exclusive, life-saving parachute system. It is our mission to make personal aviation safe, affordable, and convenient. At Cirrus, we offer a test drive like no one else in the business.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Friday, January 30th, 2009. I'm Paul Plack. Boy, do I wish I was looking for a lovingly pre-owned corporate jet right now. It's suddenly become a buyer's market. Starbucks Corporation, based in Seattle, is the latest company to decide its Gulfstream is a political and/or economic liability at the moment. The Puget Sound Business Journal reports the G550 is listed for sale by Avpro Incorporated. The company has barely touched its plane. It's almost brand new. It has less than 40 hours and 15 total cycles on the airframe, and it was only delivered last month. At the time, the company was just starting a reevaluation of its 401k contributions and was getting set to announce the closing of a bunch of stores. The announcement comes just 2 days after Citibank caved to political pressure and said it would decline to take delivery of its new Dassault Falcon 7X, a decision that could cost it millions in lost deposit money. So, if you've ever wanted a G550 with the full Honeywell Primus Epic Avionics Suite and Synthetic Vision, a tasteful interior completed in neutral tones of gray leather and gray cashmere, and sporting high-gloss Australian walnut woodwork enhanced with satin nickel plating, and you'd be excited to buy it for less than the price of a new one, you'll want to visit www.avprojet.com. NASA says its Mars rover Spirit failed to report some of its weekend activities to its management team this week. On Sunday, which is the 1800th Martian day of what was initially planned as a 90-day mission on Mars, information radioed from Spirit indicated the rover had received its driving commands for the day, but had not moved. Spirit apparently also didn't record the day's main activities into the non-volatile memory and did not want to report its orientation. Diagnostics are now underway. The Jet Propulsion Lab's Sharon Laubach, chief of the team that writes and checks commands for the rovers, says, quote, "We don't have a good explanation yet for the way Spirit has been acting for the past few days," unquote. The team does say Spirit was acting normally again on Tuesday. Some believe cosmic radiation may be getting to the chips. Now, I can't speak for Spirit, but I can remember when I was a teenager. There was a time or two I declined to report my activities of the past day to my management team, aka parents, and I might have even received commands and not moved. Turns out there's nothing wrong with my non-volatile memory. It was just a teenage thing. I'm thinking Spirit might just outgrow this phase. Hey, if you bust the Super Bowl TFR around Tampa's Raymond James Stadium on Sunday, you can expect fighters off your wing in a hurry. The U.S. Air Force plans to have its assets in the air throughout the restricted period. Air Force fighters and Customs and Border Patrol planes will all be airborne during the game in an interagency partnership. Air Force Major General Hank Morrow is commander for the Continental U.S. North American Aerospace Defense Command region. He commented, quote, "Special events like this world-renowned sporting event take precise coordination with all mission partners, including the Federal Bureau of Investigation, Customs and Border Patrol, FAA, and local law enforcement," unquote. NORAD says the flights will have minimal impact on aircraft in the area during the Super Bowl and are not in response to any specific threat. And finally, we've really come a long way from the days of coffee, tea, or me. Or have we? Flight attendants at Spirit Airlines say management recently launched a series of degrading and demeaning advertisements, and they say they've had enough. Many Islands, Low Fares was a campaign which originally ran in 2007. The company claimed it was unaware that MILF could be an off-color term for an attractive mother. Despite the backlash, or maybe because of it, Spirit brought back the campaign earlier this month. Other campaigns include We're Having a Threesome and We're Proud of Our Double D's. Patricia Friend, president of the Association of Flight Attendants, calls the ads, quote, demeaning not just to the hardworking flight attendants at Spirit Airlines, but to all of America's professional flight attendants. They offend not just the female population of this country, but the male members of humanity who admire and respect women, unquote. The FAAs are also protesting a new requirement to wear aprons advertising an alcoholic beverage during flights, saying it's at odds with their federally mandated role as safety professionals and first responders. The Spirit Airlines branch of the Airline Pilots Association is supporting the flight attendants. Quote, the pilots join them in demanding that this management stop these campaigns and run this company more like an airline and less like a frat house, unquote. Hey, remember Hooters Air? It shut down in 2006. Well, it's nice to finally see where the marketing guys ended up. And that's the latest from Aero News. Remember what it was like before ANN, when there was nobody else up there who loved you? Make sure to check out the ANN special feature. Today, ANN Editor-in-Chief Jim Campbell talks with Ed Bolin of NBAA. Ed is understandably frustrated with the public flogging being taken by business aviation lately, and the economy's not helping either. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts at iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend, and have a clear and unlimited day.